Today on This Week in Pop, we're very disappointed
in
lots of things.
Sad things.
Sorry, not a happy pop week.
Yeah. Pop your Xanax. We're going to talk about Arrested Development, Westworld, Solo, all things that are possible.
Jenna's
I talk
weird
about solo,
Instagram account.
Solo.
Yeah. What pictures are you getting on your phone?
Should I just say eggplant emoji?
Oh, Jesus.
And then we'll...
This is rated something.
Lucky me.
That's This Week in Pop. Today's episode is sponsored by MoviePass. We talk about that a lot on this show.
A lot. Yes. And now we love it.
Yes. Oh, it's so great. Did I ever say anything negative about MoviePass?
No.
I don't never think you did. Oh. Do we ever say negative things?
I hope
never.
Not.
No.
I mean, we always talk about how great of a service it is.
It is. I mean, it's great.
How much
it's
I love
wonderful.
It.
Wonderful. You do use it
one
all
movie,
the time.
A movie a day for $9.95 a month.
I might have tweeted about that once.
A movie a day.
I have to delete those tweets now,
yes.
But those do exist. You can try MoviePass right now. Go to thisweekinpop.com/moviepass and you can go to the movies like John said
once a day.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. Every day.
Yeah, one movie
per day.
Unlimited movies.
Yeah.
It's an excellent
I mean, I love
thing.
It. I'm not I feel like we're having a certain tone with this talk, but I actually love MoviePass.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, I actually know a lot of people who love and use MoviePass. So.
Well, if you know anyone that
it's worth
doesn't
checking out.
Yes. And if you know anyone that doesn't already use it, tell them, thisweekinpop.com/moviepass. Hello and welcome to This Week in Pop. I'm Tommy West.
Do we have a song?
We don't, technically.
We should get one.
Who would do it?
Us.
Who's
people
us?
Who did the Entourage?
I just started.
Song.
Cole Jane's Addiction. Hi. I know you guys haven't been that busy lately. Could you do an intro to a podcast? No, it has nothing
Thanks.
To do with your music at all.
Maxwell. Sorry for that. It was on my mind.
Hello, Maxwell.
Hi.
I'm Jenna.
Hi, Jenna.
Welcome back.
Oh, hi, Mark.
It's like an addiction therapy session.
Yes.
Sort of.
Jane's Addiction Therapy.
You brought it back. That's called
See
a callback.
See what you did?
We have lots to talk about this week. First and foremost, by the way, before we get into the big stuff we want to talk about, a few little notes, a few little rapid fire things to mention. Amazon has picked up The Expanse, which I think we talked about.
The Expanse? Okay, Grandpa. We'll never
get, once we said it that way, that's
Amazon
all
picked
I
up
hear.
That Expanse.
That's all I hear now.
I don't know what the show is about. I should. And I feel like now that there's been all this, you know,
hoopla
about it. I feel
have a
like
question about it.
Yeah.
I watched the first.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Three or four episodes.
Is
Thomas
it?
Jane still on it? What he was on it.
Jane's Addiction. Thomas Jane.
Yeah. Same Jane.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The original Punisher. Well, not the original, but the Punisher.
The only Punisher.
He was in Hung on HBO.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, I know that guy.
Yeah, he was
Tom
on
Jane.
That show. He was like their big star on
he
that show.
He was also in another show we're going to talk about later today.
We are?
In Arrested Development.
He was on that?
Yes. He was the actor.
Oh, yes.
He's Tom
you know
Jane.
Him. You know him now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we'll get to that.
He just wants his kids back.
I didn't realize that was a real
that's him.
Person.
Yeah, that's him.
Tommy.
Just want my kids back.
I didn't realize it was a real person.
Disappointed. I don't know if he's still on the show. I don't know. Like Tommy, I've not seen one episode of X-Pants,
yeah.
But...
Wait. Jenna, can you actually
X-Pants.
Fill us in as to what the show is?
It's about a pair of pants.
The X-Pants.
They used to be. to be honest, I didn't love it.
Okay.
That's why I only watched the first three or four episodes.
Wow.
It is about... The Earth is no more, mm-hmm. and we are now living on some sort of space station.
Okay.
And it's changed humans. Like, we kind of evolved. Like, some people are sick, some people are dying. And it's all about corruption within this spaceship. There's ranking, and there's.
But are there still hot people?
Of everyone. It just so happens everyone on that space station is very good looking.
Maybe they were selected by their hotness.
Yes.
Ooh. As I would determine if I had an arc-like situation and the world was ending, I would rate people on the hotness.
I agree.
You're a doctor? Oh, but you're not that cute?
Yeah.
No.
Don't need you.
To the flood you go.
Yeah.
Would you be that open about it, though? Would you, you tell them that
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Very, very open.
Oh.
You're super hot. You're a secretary, but come on up.
Yeah.
Room next to me.
I don't think I would make the cut in your arc situation here.
No.
I'd bring you guys both along.
Aww.
For the ride.
Well, for what
Jenna
it's worth.
Only because she offered to take me into her arc.
Yeah.
She
and all
can
the
come
cute
into
animals.
My arc.
You made it with animals. That's
only hot ones, though.
So apparently, yes, Expanse.
That was better.
The Expanse.
I'm pronouncing
you're
it
getting
better.
There. It's getting better.
Was saved by Amazon, which we talked about a little bit last time. So that's news that happened. Also, Roseanne was canceled. I don't know why.
And I hope nobody picks it up. Amazon, don't pick up that show.
Don't pick her up.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. The latest news on that as of this podcast is the show is canceled. Yes. Apparently everyone hates Roseanne, including the guy who played DJ.
Her son.
Yeah, dude. Sarah Gilbert, too.
Everyone. Sarah Gilbert, yeah.
And she's getting into fights with the cast on Twitter.
Right.
And I will say this. I saw some of the cast doing their press tour prior to the show coming out. Everyone seemed to be on board with each other except for Roseanne. Like, there was almost like a division.
What do you mean?
Like, I felt like both politically and like the climate-wise, like, everyone sort of agreed with each other. And there was a different agreement than Roseanne. And so now she's starting to kind of blame that division. Everyone kind of went into the show with like a, hey, let's just do this. We want to bring everyone back together. It's an exciting thing. They missed each other like a family. They did this show for years. And then now they're not doing the show anymore.
I love that it's a shock to people that Roseanne is all of a sudden racist and bigot. And she's always been this way.
Yeah, like, I mean, let's not forget her infamous picture of her posing as Hitler.
Sure.
I mean, it was for a Jewish magazine.
Very tastefully done. Very tastefully
super
done.
Super tasteful. She's always been an asshole.
Yeah. She called someone an ape actually a couple of years ago on Twitter. Nice. Not the first time that's happened. This was a chance for her, I guess, to get redemption to some degree. And the show was a huge success. I mean, ABC led it in their upfronts that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. They started with Roseanne and Roseanne came out and waved and everybody clapped.
I will say, and from all the reaction afterwards, including which is where I was going to go with this too, is a lot of Variety, Deadline, everyone's sort of looking at this and saying, okay, well, now what? Because everyone liked the rest of the cast, and the entire rest of the cast and the writers are all kind of like, no. Like, she's singled out. Unfortunately, it's the one person the show is named after.
So you want to do a Roseanne show sans Roseanne?
I would watch a Dan show.
Which is what everyone's talking about. Like, everyone loves John Goodman.
Like, Aunt Jackie show. I'm a huge fan. Did you guys watch Roseanne? I don't know if you guys watched it.
I watched it back in the day.
The OG Roseanne I loved. This Roseanne, I've watched it. I don't love it.
Yeah.
It really hasn't. It's been, like, extra corny. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's lost its edge, I guess. I wasn't feeling it. And I just know what an asshole Roseanne is now, which I didn't when I was younger. And
it takes
now
you out of it.
It takes me out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I, well, so as of right now, the look at it is, number one, the production company that is running or was running that show has the entire cast in locked for contract for a season two. No one's talking about, well, I was supposed to get paid for season two. I was actually hoping to try to consult. I'm dead serious. I wanted to try to consult like an entertainment lawyer to figure this out because I'm actually curious, like, could the cast sue Roseanne Barr for like, essentially getting the show canceled because of her actions and then losing them their payday?
I don't know. Like, I feel like this happens a lot, though.
Not like this, though.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Not like this. That's interesting. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Sure, we'll be hearing about it.
I mean, I feel like these people pick up jobs at the drop of a hat. Like, you know, if they get one, like the next day, they have to like find another pilot that's hopefully gets picked up.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have to stay within ABC. Are they under some sort of contract? Does that contract get voided? There's a lot of interesting questions. Do we know any entertainment lawyers?
I was looking. I didn't have any in my phone, in my Rolodex, but
that would be interesting. I'm curious what that would be.
Because I would think, I mean, if it's any other job or company you work for, theoretically, if one person screws something up and gets your contract canceled. So her actions, but for what she did, ABC said, you know what? We don't want to do business with the entire show anymore because of what you're doing. We can't be involved in that. And that's understandable. So does the rest of the cast look at her and say, you screwed this up for the rest of us by your actions? You had our contract for the show voided and blah, 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 blah. Like, do they have recourse? Obviously, I don't know who the hell would want to go then sue Roseanne Barr. But
right.
I mean, DJ hasn't really done anything since.
DJ never did anything when he was on Roseanne.
So, but long story short, here's where we stand is, as of right now, they're saying a reboot or a version 2.0 or 3.0 of Roseanne without Roseanne, but about the Connors or some version of that is unlikely, but it's not completely out of the picture. The people, the producers behind the show are like, we have everyone in contract. We have all the writers. We have all the cast. They all love working together. They want to work together. Maybe we'll see what we can do. But I guess the hardest part of it is the creative.
Yeah.
And figuring out how they can creatively come up with a plot line where the entire Connor family exists without the person the show is based around.
I have zero interest in that kind of show, but I will watch it just to, you know.
Yeah, spite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spite watch it.
There
well,
it is.
Well, I mean, what about the other side of it where people are saying that it wasn't really motivated by like ABC's concern for, you know, doing the right thing, like a moral concern. It was like more of a business move.
Business move. They're walking away from right. like a show that, because the reality is here's the sad fact. There are a lot of people who are racist, just like, and there are people tweeting their support for her right now. They would watch the show no matter what.
Yeah.
They're losing those viewers. They're losing that entire audience. So no matter what, this is a big loss.
Right.
For
ABC doesn't care who's watching it. They just want people watching it. And that was a hugely successful show. Yeah. I doubt it cost that much to make. Aside from the cast payouts, I'm sure Roseanne and John Goodman got a lot, and even Laurie Metcalf. And the sets are nothing. It's a three set show.
Yeah.
Three camera, and it's the low budget.
Yeah.
Well, what about like Last Man Standing too? Like that was on ABC that got canceled.
But that was,
I don't know what was it. Was it like politically motivated?
No, that was,
I don't know.
That sure. right there was just simply like, all right, if you're not breaking new ground, it wasn't like a huge, the thing is the show did okay and decent as far as like overall ratings, but for the, you know, coveted 18 to 34 demo, like it wasn't there. It didn't fit what ABC was trying to go for, so they're like, all right, we're just gonna cut it.
Okay, because America was real upset about losing that.
But Fox has that now, right?
Fox picked it up, which is why I say maybe Fox will pick up Roseanne.
Right, and have it at Tim Allen, Roseanne Barr.
Yeah, people would be real. Yeah, exactly. People would be thrilled here, let's be honest.
So, all right, so that's where that entire thing stands, and I guess good luck. All I want to see is John Goodman employed. That's my motivation.
I just
motivation.
Want to see John Goodman happy.
I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's fine.
Rest assured.
I mean, what else has he popped up in? He was the dean of the air conditioner repair school on Community.
He's been in some movies. He was in Argo.
10 Cloverfield Lane.
He 10 Cloverfield Lane. Right. Oh my God, he was so good.
You know what's funny is there's not a lot of actors like him where I can see him as a psychopath and still love him like a cuddly bear.
Yeah. I think he gained extra weight. He did a really good job at losing weight, and he actually gained more weight for that role, which is shocking for me.
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of stuff. I think he popped up in Saturday Night Live a couple times as Rex Tillerson.
Right. Yeah.
Some of the political cold opens. He was in Kong, Skull Island.
Oh, that's right.
He's been in some stuff as Atomic Blonde. So he'll be fine. Don't worry about John Goodman. He'll get plenty of work.
We love you, John Goodman.
Like, I'm not worried about Sarah Chalk.
That's a slumming on ABC Wednesday nights.
Well, what's the name? Sarah Gilbert has her talk show.
Which one is that? Because one of them got canceled.
The Talkity?
I don't know. The chew?
The chit-chat. The chew view? Is the one that was canceled.
Okay.
Talk Stoop.
And then, like I said, Sarah Chalk, I mean, she's in like every sitcom somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. She's been around.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about the cast. It's more like the gaffers and the cameramen and the people who needed that job.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of guess, but at the same time, I mean, it's Hollywood. There's always something going on.
Yes.
There's always something.
Speaking of which,
find something.
Something on Netflix world.
Yeah. What's that?
What?
We have to talk about.
Oh boy.
It saddens me.
13 Reasons Why season 2.
No.
Oh.
So, oh no, God no. Oh. I will never watch
that. No, yeah, me neither. I don't watch that either.
Arrested Development came finally.
Mm.
And
did you watch it all?
I'm on episode 5.
Okay.
And it's not the same.
Ooh, not a good reaction.
Have you been watching?
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet. No.
Okay.
I just think the magic's gone. I mean,
that sucks.
Yeah. So I watched it and the first episode went through. And I was like, oh, that felt different.
Different.
And then I watched the whole thing, by the way.
You watched the entire series?
I felt like I had to for this
like
podcast.
Pete Rose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Head first, dove in.
And I'll preface this by saying, so I won't do spoilers yet. And I don't want to spoil anything as far as like down the road, especially since Maxwell, you haven't seen.
I haven't seen the end
thing.
Of it. So
I'll try to keep it as spoiler free as possible. But I guess to your point, the magic was sort of gone. I think watching it logistically, there's a lot of things that I noticed and I tried to pinpoint, like, why does this feel different?
Why?
A few different things. I brought this up to.
I felt like such a staged why.
Tell us why.
Tell us why.
Number why? One, and it's I'm wondering if this is going to be some aha moments from other people that have watched this, but you know, the show had a was like taped on film, or like a version of film, or it looked like it was on film back in like the original seasons.
It looked cheap. They shot on cheap cameras back in the early 2000s for the Fox three, the first three, the key three seasons. Wasn't shot on an HD camera that Netflix, I'm sure, spent a pretty penny on that they're doing for these new seasons.
It looks too polished now, to the point where like everything's in focus. One of the cornerstones of the show was sort of this like fluid camera movement that the camera kind of flowed and kind of along with the dialogue. Right. And now it's just like stiff cam. And some of that has to do with the fact that, you know, some actors aren't actually in the scene with the other person. And then there's like green screen things happening and body doubles.
There's
some
horrible green screening in this.
Yeah.
Which
I thought we were done with from the season four. I thought like we got the whole cast back together, and there are parts where the entire cast minus one character are all in a room together.
Minus which character?
We can't. No spoilers.
Yeah, well, I won't spoiler things. Okay. Yeah, but again, I guess the point here is, there's a lot. It's not just the camera either, and that's like the one visual thing that I noticed. But the other thing I noticed is just the pacing. The one thing going back, and I just binged on my little vacation I took 2 weeks ago, I binged back on from season one all the way through season four again to get myself ready for season five. And the one thing I noticed too is the pacing of the dialogue was really always fast. And then any like connection was filled in with the narrator. The narrator served a great purpose. And there's just like long stretches of dialogue with no narration, and it tries to be very wordy. And even like some of the things, like I think, to be honest, I like season four better. And I guess
now I do.
Wow, really?
I didn't know what I had before I had it.
We're like, boo, season four
that's so
feels
disappointing.
Different.
I feel like I still have to watch it. You know,
I mean, you should. I'm curious what you think about
it. Yeah, but that's disappointing.
I was going to say, and the other thing too, and since I've gone through it too, I think the other thing, even from season four, is like there's stuff we picked up on, you know, like the solve for X joke, Cinco, like there's things that just like the rest of Arrested Development, you like there's like little words and like one liners that you end up like picking up on, and that me and Maxwell will end up like screaming at each other constantly. This had like nothing. Like, even stuff that I thought were like, even from the first episode, there was like some stuff like lines with Buster and things that I was like, oh, great. This is like they're starting like new memes on the show. And it just fizzled out immediately.
Oh, man.
I mean, I think I had three key issues with the show, the new season that I've seen so far. The first is that the actors, they're not the same characters that they were in the first couple of seasons. When I see Job and I see Buster, it feels like they forgot to play how to play the character.
That sucks. I hate when that happens.
Willamette doesn't seem like Job. It seems like he's doing some impression of Job.
Yeah.
It's not the Job from the key three seasons.
Yeah,
right. It's a weird manic Job. He's not so affable and so charmingly annoying as he was in the first three seasons. He's a little full of himself. He's a little he has a lack of confidence almost. And it could be part of the character. It could be an arc, because he has a strange arc in this new season. And the same thing with Buster. He's not as innocent as he used to be.
Yeah.
And again, this could be because of time progressing, but we don't really want to see that with these characters. This is a sitcom.
Yeah.
There is not really, I don't care about growth. I don't want to see them sort of like become a different person. Like you like seeing the same character you see the entire way through. Like I don't think Joey changed all that much in Friends in the entire 11 seasons that Friends was on.
Yeah. Right. He loved sandwiches from season one to the last season.
He did the same exact stuff. And I think the new stuff of Arrested, they changed the character directions a little bit, and it lost the chemistry that it had.
There were parts in some later episodes, I want to say maybe like episode five or six, that I was watching it, and I'm just like, this feels like a rehearsal.
Yeah.
Like there was a scene, and I don't want to ruin anything just yet. And I guess in a few minutes, maybe we'll get into like a little spoilers and we'll warn. But there was a scene I'm watching, and I'm just like, everyone's tone is off. And I'm just like, is it looks like they filmed a rehearsal and just were like, you know what? That was fine. Just
we'll go with
someone. Someone has to leave and go do another project. So like, just cut it, you know, print it. Like we're good, because there was like no emotion. And again, even the way the dialogue is structured, it used to be really snappy. Like there was no lull in the dialogue of Arrested Development. Like it was, everything just bounced back and forth. There was fill for the narrator. Any references went off to like things that like, you know, B-roll that they ended up showing. And this just like lagged. And even the episode structure, there was a little excitement that it was going back to like the whole 22 minute thing. And like,
they didn't stick with that.
Not only did they not stick with it, but even when they tried to, the show just kind of ended on weird lulls where it's like, that's the end of the episode. There was no silo. It was kind of like, oh, cool, we're out of time. We'll see you in the next episode. And that was it.
So are people like in agreement with you guys?
No,
like,
this is the frustrating part.
So people are like, this is awesome.
Have you looked at the reviews? Because I feel I looked for something to back up what I was thinking. And all I find are people like, this is great. It's back to its roots.
I didn't want to see that until I watched the whole way through. But yeah. I'm not surprised people would give that unanimously positive reviews because they're just so happy it's back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I want to feel that way. And I still love this show. And I'm still going to watch it 4 more times to see if it grows on me, because usually it does. And maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm scrutinizing too hard. I set the bar too high, as I always do with Arrested Development, because I love it so much. The narration's off. The stories are way too confusing. They're doing way too many callbacks. The Forget Me Now plot with the roofie is just very confusing. They keep coming back to it. And I hate that. They did it in season 4 and they just did it again in season 5. And I just don't understand it. The writing's off. I mean, the two main writers, Mitch Hurwitz and James Valley, are back.
Yeah.
But the other writers are gone. And there
is that what it was?
I mean, it could be. I don't know. I mean, there were 14 writers on the first 3 seasons of Arrested Development. And now I think there's 3.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I love Mitch Hurwitz. I just don't know if this much creative control is affecting the show. The fact that he has so much more, and I know it's because of him the show exists, so I have a hard time critiquing him, and I have no writing experience to back this up. Maybe I'm completely wrong.
No. I've said this before a few times, which is sometimes when we see shows go off network or flip from a network to Netflix and things like that, we end up seeing sometimes where they're just giving like free creative control, and you see the difference of like, yes, everyone complains about network notes and like, you know, being held to these different things and standards and practices and all like the walls and rails they have to run within. But sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's okay to be told you need an episode arc of 3 episodes with Charlize Theron. You know, like sometimes that's necessary because it ends up creating creativity that they have to work within. Yeah. We've joked around about how many times like product placement in some shows has been really funny because they're kind of forced to integrate it and they do it in like a really funny way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, sometimes too much creative control can be a bad thing.
I mean, the first 3 seasons of Arrested Development did not have one throwaway line. Every line meant something.
Yep.
Either towards the plot or some callback or some just very something creatively driven. And the new season has at best maybe 5 lines I thought that were funny that I remember.
That sucks. That's really disappointing. Because you're right, that is what Arrested Development was.
That's
so great.
That's all it is.
That's why it was so great.
Yeah. And they've lost that magic. And it's hard to bottle magic that happened over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Even more. You know, if these seasons happened directly after season 3, it would be completely different.
Right.
We would have all the cast there. They would have the same writing staff. They would have the same momentum they had for the genius 3 seasons that it was on. Mm-hmm. And now we get these sort of, you know, here's some callbacks that you might remember. If not, who gives a shit? We're getting paid millions. Yeah.
That's the problem with these kinds of like reboots and revivals, I feel like.
You were talking about Roseanne before.
Yeah.
And kind of the same thing, right?
It's like lost its magic. It's just kind of like, I feel like the original Roseanne was a little more edgy. Maybe it's just because I was younger and the times were different.
Yeah.
I just felt like it had a funnier edge, and now it's just kind of corny and the jokes are so like kind of just really predictable.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
I want to get into just spoilers. And I think I'll just try to touch on the first episode, because I think that's, if anyone's touched on it, they can give it 22 minutes to watch.
I haven't touched
28 minutes. It's not 22.
Excuse me.
That's what bothers me. It's not 22 minutes. They're all long again.
Yeah.
They have this huge critique about it being long. And they say, we're going to fix the whole season 4. The new season's long.
I thought Mitch specifically said like he was going to shorten the episodes. They were going to be more like the original.
And that's the funny part is like what I was going to say is the one spoiler I was going to bring up is in the first episode, there's this dialogue between Maybe and George Michael,
which is the best plot line of the show so far.
Yes. And I will say it absolutely is the most concise, clear plot line next to Nope. That's it.
That's it.
but there's a scene where they're sitting down at a table when she walks out of Lucille 2's apartment, and they're having a dialogue back and forth. And I was watching it. I watched it a second time to just make sure I'm thinking properly. And they're just sitting there and there's dialogue back and forth. And it became really clear that like Mitch Hurwitz or Jim Val like wrote this and we're like, this is really funny dialogue. And there's no interaction with the narrator jumping in. It's just a weird dialogue back and forth about, oh, Gangi always said this. And like in this weird dialogue right, back her. And forth,
yes.
That's supposed to be funny. And at the end of the day, it's like, it just drags and yeah. It's not, it doesn't hit. It doesn't actually like land a giant punch. And again, I think what made the show special wasn't, oh, Buster has a hook or Job is crazy or, you know, George, whatever. That wasn't what made the show special. The magic was the pacing of the writing and yes. The jokes and the callbacks and things like that, which are completely absent here. And I think what's most frustrating is I can get they're having, you know, budgetary issues or issues with scheduling of the cast and trying to get them together, which again, especially now, hindsight, looking at season 4, I'll give it a lot more credit because writing good material doesn't cost money, more money. Mm-hmm. It just is like sitting there and finessing the work until you get a very highly polished piece and throw it into your show.
Yeah.
This I think was lacking that.
It's a formula really though, isn't it? Because yes. It's not just the writing. It's also what the actors are bringing. And if yes. Will Arnett is not bringing that same, I don't know, whatever made him.
Right.
That's a good Joe point. The
you know?
And he's not. Something's different sucks. About him. Lindsay yeah. seems checked out.
Really?
Portia de Rossi doesn't seem she wants to yeah. be on the show.
Well, I don't think she is.
I know. It's just yeah. like, but it, you know, you need everyone on board. And if it's not going to work, just let us enjoy the ones that we had. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying I need the new episodes. I'm happy that things are still sticking around. I love the fan base of Arrested Development because it's feverish. If you meet someone yeah. who loves Arrested Development, they love everything about yeah. it. There's no yeah. fair weather Arrested Development fan. yeah. They love every line of the show. And if I ask someone to quote something from season 4, they really can't do it.
Yeah.
But seasons 1 through 3.
No, I quoted some stuff from season 4.
But it's few and far between. And yes. honestly, now, if anything, season 5, anything I've learned from season 5, it's made me really appreciate season yeah. 4. It's just, you know.
One of my favorite moments was turned into a meme. And which it's when what? He's like, hey, bud, you alone? Almost always, yeah.
I love that. That's what I
feels miss. Good to laugh.
Yeah. I watched all the episodes together, so I didn't once. Actually, that's not true. I laughed once.
In what? Season 5?
In all of season 5, I laughed.
That's you only laughed one time?
One yes. time?
I mean, I still laughed a couple times, but it's still not good.
Is it early on or later?
Later. And I will say, like, later on, it starts to feel a little bit more like Arrested Development, but I think the other frustrating thing too is there's a lot of stuff that it seemed like they just wanted to forget they ever did in season 4. Mm-hmm. And especially seeing how everything, you know, transpires in the rest of season 5. I'm like, why? Why would you just abandon?
And things might change. We only got half the season.
Yes.
Second half's coming out. TBD.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Can't wait.
I want. Did they film it already?
Yeah, I think they filmed it. Yeah.
Okay.
They're just holding it. Okay. Withholding it.
Speaking, and we'll talk next week about this because it literally came out yesterday or today. It came out on the 30th.
Yeah, let me watch.
Arrested
that.
Development came out on the 29th. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt came out on the 30th, which is also broken up now into two halves of the season.
I did not know it was released.
I didn't even know it was released either.
Yeah. So
I'm surprised Netflix didn't shove it down my throat.
Yeah, they kind of buried that underneath yeah. Arrested Development.
Yeah. So that's out also. We can
that's
talk about that next
a really
week.
Surprising move.
We yeah. can talk about it next week because I love it.
Yeah. It's the closest. And you know what? That's a good example of a show that if you loved 30 Rock, you kind of love Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And
exactly.
It's the same sort of writing. Mm-hmm. It's the same. Even soundtrack wise, like it's pretty much the exact perfect. Same yep. soundtrack. And yeah, I mean, talking about different, like, is there Mitch Hurwitz, aside from like that one cartoon he did, has he really done any other TV shows or anything?
No, he's guested on a couple of things. I mean, he did Golden Girls a long time ago. He helped produce Will Arnett's thing.
Oh, the Fox one, right?
Which Fox one?
There was the TV show on Fox he did, right?
I'm not sure. He did Flaked, Will Arnett's show on Netflix.
Oh, I didn't know that was him.
Okay. He did Lady Dynamite, another Netflix thing.
Yes. Oh, I never watched that.
With Debris
Bordeaux. So he's done some stuff. Nothing too crazy, nothing very successful, but his biggest claim to fame is Arrested Development.
Yeah.
And I hope things get better in the second half. That's all I can say.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Anywho.
Leave on a sad note.
I don't even know what else there is to talk about. Westworld. I'm sorry.
Hello. Yes. And also Solo. Nobody?
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. Let's
Tommy, I'm so disappointed in you.
I'd rather talk about Solo than Westworld. I'm kind of sick of talking about Westworld.
Okay. Jenna wants to talk about Westworld.
She wants to talk about Solo. Wait. Can I talk about Westworld?
Not only that, but I binged. I watched every episode I had missed of Westworld to catch up.
Well, I'm just going
to
be on my phone while you guys talk about Westworld.
Can we talk about Westworld next week?
No, you could do Westworld because now while I mash on my phone.
I gotta talk about Solo.
We'll talk about Solo. I get to check out now like Jenna did because I didn't see it yet? No.
I don't want to spoil it.
I have no interest in it.
Really? Okay. Did you see it?
Yes.
But you're not a huge Star Wars fan.
I am not, but I still saw it.
Okay. So Solo, I went into with zero expectations because I did not even really want to see it. I was like not looking forward to it.
But you're like a massive Star Wars fan. That's surprising to me.
But if you're like, I don't know, a lot of the Star Wars nerds were very anti-Solo because they were kind of like, this is a story we did not ask for. We never wanted Han Solo's backstory. There are comic books that exist about his backstory.
Is there a name for Star Wars fans like Trekkies or Bloobies for the Blue Man Group fans?
That's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know. I've always just called myself a Star Wars nerd.
Star Wars nerd.
Nerd.
There it is. All right. Low expectations.
Anyway, low expectations. Ended up really liking it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really good. I actually felt like it was better than The Last Jedi.
Whoa.
That's a low bar.
Well, right. Exactly, though. Like, when you go into it with low expectations.
Yeah.
I really liked it. There was, can we talk spoilers? It's been out now, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, like, I'm really having this conversation with myself because nobody else here cares.
I can sort of care.
I don't want to spoil it for you.
No, here's the thing.
I don't want to ruin the most amazing part.
No, you can.
Ruin away.
Okay.
Because I actually, I specifically looked and found spoilers to understand what this movie was.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I don't want to see it. I'd rather just someone tell me what happens.
Darth Maul.
Now Jenna can tell you.
Darth Maul.
What's
Darth Maul is revealed. Darth Maul is one of the coolest Star Wars villains, and he was underappreciated. He was in the prequels, but he's friggin' badass. He's fucking badass. He's so cool.
Ooh, he's got two
double-ended.
Double-ended.
Shake weight. Thomas did this shake weight motion.
Yeah.
I'm making a very interesting
gesture.
Can you describe
to people
right now? Who
is Darth Maul in the Star Wars folklore?
Darth Maul is a Sith Lord who was defeated by what's his name?
Darth Vader.
Wow.
No,
Star
not Darth
Wars
Vader.
Nerd. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, eventually, yes. So eventually, if you follow along with Rebels and the cartoons, he is defeated by Obi-Wan.
Okay.
What a lot of people don't know, though, is that if you're just following along from the movies and the prequels, Darth Maul dies in the prequels, right? He's defeated. He's killed.
Poor guy.
He's actually still alive. And now we find that out in Solo.
But is that a shoehorn? Like, if you go back, is it like feasible that he's not dead?
Like, he dies. Okay. Oh, yeah. No, he dies. But, you know, of course, then in Rebels, there's like the Star, you know, clones and Rebels.
Yeah.
Anyway. He like somehow manages. It's not really explained how he survives.
I love stuff like
classic,
that.
You know, so it's like the classic, like just, oh, he's back.
So it's like the bad guy at the end of Die Hard.
Yeah.
Where he's like hanging there and he's dead. He's hanging by his neck.
But is he?
But he's not. Yeah.
So you like that reveal the most? That's just.
It was pretty epic. Yeah. If you're like a real Star Wars fan, it's like, oh my God. It's
Do they
Maul.
Kill him again?
No, they just showed him. Like, that was just a reveal. Like, you find out he's the mastermind behind this whole, like, crime syndicate.
Mm.
It's really exciting stuff.
I would have liked to have seen the Chris Miller interpretation of this movie, since Ron Howard reshot about 75% of it.
Seriously, I know.
I mean, I liked it. I don't know much about Star Wars. I thought it was a fun adventure into the life of Han Solo. I wasn't that big on him. Alden Ehrenreich, I think his name.
Yeah.
I think he did a good job. In comparison to Harrison Ford's Han Solo, you know, charming, charismatic, still trying to figure out who he is in the galaxy.
Yeah.
I loved his relationship with Chewie.
Yeah.
I thought that was very, very
agreed.
Heartfelt and funny. Woody Harrelson had a good mentorship role as, you know, telling telling, you know, how he sort of learned who he can trust in the world. Can't you trust your mentor? Who can you trust? I liked his interactions even with Emilia Clarke. I forgot her character's name.
Yeah.
They had good chemistry. Everyone had sort of good chemistry. Donald Glover was great as Lando Calrissian.
He was great.
Loved his relationship with his robot.
He was awesome.
Seemed to be romantic. He was
borderline
dating his robot, I guess.
That, yeah, the actress who voiced her is actually, I don't know if you guys watch Fleabag.
No.
It's just a British, it was like a British play, and it was brought to Amazon as a series. She's awesome. That's who voiced.
She's also in Game of Thrones.
Is she?
Yeah, Gwendolyn.
No, that's not her.
What?
It sounded just like her, right?
Are you sure?
I am positive because I had to Google it after I saw it.
Hold on.
I thought it was the girl from Game of Thrones.
It is not Brienne of Tarth, no.
You were like, who's that hot voice?
Yeah, I knew. It's like, that's Brienne.
I thought she was an old
I know
promos.
My girl.
Was she not even in the movie at all, Brienne of Tarth?
No.
Oh,
well, she was Captain Phasma in...
Oh, I'm very wrong.
It's okay, Matt.
Wow. I apologize. See, I'm not a Star Wars nerd.
See?
There's got to be a name
That's
for Star
right.
Wars nerds. You got
to
research this.
There has
this.
To be.
I don't
Maybe
call
we
can
come
that.
Up with one.
I want to call it something else.
If like, you know,
Starries.
I know.
Starries. Yeah. Starries. I'm going to call them bloopies just for the hell of it.
I like it.
Bloopers. Bloopies. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I'm a little surprised that none of the Star Wars fans went out for it. It made like no money.
It didn't do well, but they're saying people are like kind of, it's Star Wars fatigue.
They're also saying that, I mean, we had this conversation last week when you weren't here, Jenna.
I'm sorry.
But
I was just so busy.
I think, no, the point is like, yeah, no one asked for it. Like,
yeah,
there's,
we didn't ask for it.
There are other stories people want to see, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, Boba Fett. No, everyone's like, yeah, okay, like, what are you gonna, what is this? Like, no one.
But I mean, Marvel can put out 4 movies in a year and they all make pretty much the same amount. Why can't Star Wars do the same?
But they're doing different things with it. Like, I think the difference is like, if you go to see Iron Man and then you go to see Guardians of the Galaxy, they're very different movies. Like, you know, you don't have the type of humor and the Chris Pratt brings something a lot different to the role than Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Where we Chris Pratt versus Iron Man, yes. But I guess the point is like everyone knows the Han Solo shtick. Like they know he's like, oh, badass of the galaxy and all this, and it's nothing new. Like they're already getting that in the other movies. And even in the new movies, there's still a version of a Han Solo-esque character in there.
Han Solo is always gonna be the best. He's the best.
Yeah.
I thought this kid actually did a pretty good job.
Oh yeah. How was acting school kid?
He was fine. He definitely studied Harrison Ford, like really, like definitely studied. Like, but just fine, because I think he did a pretty good job. He definitely is not Harrison Ford. It's almost like I dissociated him from Han Solo. I saw it as like its own thing. But the best part is Chewie.
Chewie's best the part best part. It best bothered part. Me at the end when the whole full circle with the poker game.
Oh yeah.
They should have just ended it as soon as he like sat down. We knew what was gonna happen.
Right.
They
had to show him winning the Falcon.
Did he win the ship?
You'll never guess what happened.
Oh no.
But like they had to walk us through so much of this, and they didn't give the audience enough credit in this kind of movie. And I think that kind of bothered me a lot. They spoon fed you a lot of this plot.
You're right about that.
And you kind of knew what was going to be happening.
Yeah.
I didn't need to see it. And you always could have shaved about 15 minutes off of it by just letting us assume what was going to happen. Because we know. Give us some credit.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. They did definitely dumb it down for the audience.
So Tommy should see it. And then I'm curious.
I don't want to see it.
Now you guys talk about Westworld and I can go mash up my phone.
Yeah. Beep, boop, did you, by the way, Jenna, this is homework from a couple weeks ago, but did you ever end up watching Deadpool? All right. Let's talk Westworld before we get out of here, because we have to leave on a high note, because we talked about how disappointing.
Wait, we're leaving on a high note?
A lot of disappointments.
Sorry. Well, right now there's a lot of disappointments in the pop culture world.
Yeah. Westworld.
Except Solo, surprisingly pleasant. Westworld is also a little bit of a
What?
Okay. Shogun World is fucking awesome. If they made the show about Shogun World, I'm there and I'm watching it.
Are you into
what is Shogun World?
That's where the ninja. Okay. Do you not watch it?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you watched Westworld.
No, he checked
Pardon
out. So the
me.
Whole point is there. Westworld is all like, you know, the Wild West. Shogun World is the wild Shogun.
Right. So it's basically like Japanese culture, but it's like, you know, ninjas and Shoguns.
Tentacle things.
Geishas.
Oh, God.
Tentacle porn.
There's some geishas. Either way, it's like badass karate stuff. Yeah. It's really cool.
It was a lot better than I expected because I'm not a guy who's into, like, I don't want to say ninja things. What was I going to say?
Asian, like, culture.
Samurai and ninja movies and kung fu and all that other stuff. Like, I was never a fan of like kung fu movies.
Me neither, really.
But this was cool. Yeah, right. I liked it. I think the biggest thing that I'm sort of questioning is, I mean, A, the show is bringing back some characters that I was like really happy came back.
Like,
I don't know, the girl with the dark hair.
Wow. Wow.
So this is a really in-depth review. No, I forget that. The point is, the biggest thing to me is Liz Lemon's boyfriend. What's his name?
That's all you need to know. Yeah. People should know who he is.
Yeah. There's nothing James I Marston. Love more than Tommy trying to figure out the name of somebody.
You know, that guy with the hair.
Like, sooner or later, I'm just going to stop answering. Yes. I'm just going to stare at you while you figure this out.
James Marsden, who is Liz Lemon's boyfriend Zach in 30 Ups. Rock, is now the boyfriend in Westworld.
Teddy, yes.
Maybe because apparently she removed his
that whole
feelings.
Storyline drives me nuts. If you've been watching from season one, the Dolores storyline, where are they going with it? What is she doing? I'm not interested. I'm losing interest in it.
Real of her?
The man in the black hat, who is, as we know, Ed Harris, who we see him when he's young too. I don't know the actor's name.
What? Jimmy Simpson?
That's, nope. No.
Yes, it is.
Is it? That's his name.
Yeah. I was thinking of Jimmy Smith for a hot second. Like, nope, you're wrong. It's Jimmy Smith.
I mean, if I say a name and you immediately respond, nope, you're usually right.
But I know.
Jimmy Simpson, I definitely know. He's from Always Sunny.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, I just didn't know his name.
Yeah.
I just know him as that guy.
Yeah. You know? But I think, and just to explain what we're even talking about here, but first and foremost, James Marsden's character with Dolores, mm-hmm. number one with that, let me just say, I was really scared for him. Like, at some point in the last episode, you knew that she was going to kill him.
Right.
Or you expected that. And I think I even turned to my wife and I'm like, they're not going to kill him. You expect it. But this show always does that to you.
She didn't really kill him. She basically, it seems like, rebooted him or changed his settings.
But he knows that she did that. So he's aware that she changed his personality. So now when she's like, do you like to watch the sunset with me? And he's like, you removed that part of my brain. I don't care anymore.
And he's just like, shoot someone in the head. Let's kill people.
So she made him like vicious and took away his
humanity. Ironically.
I mean, there's a few different things in there that you can kind of see, like the whole like different layers of the show.
Yeah.
Like teaching lessons. But at the same time, I'm just sad that James Marsden isn't a nice guy anymore.
Me too.
He wanted to save the cows.
You know what I have to say about Mr. James Marsden? He's a pretty good actor because he went from being Teddy, this kind of sweet, naive, like, oh, I'm so sweet. And I love Dolores. And now he's kind of apathetic and cold and he's playing that part pretty good too. So I'm like, he's a pretty good actor.
You just like it because you saw his butt.
I think he's.
Do we see butt? He hang butt?
You see lots of butts and everything.
Yeah.
You see all the parts.
On the Westworld train.
You see all the parts.
Hello.
It actually is on a train, too.
Robotic dongs.
Ironically, no.
And there's that. And then the other, I think the thing that freaked me out, which this show does every once in a while.
Yeah.
Was, you know, the show sort of has been opening a bunch with like Dolores talking to. What's his name? The guy with the glasses.
Arnold.
Stop it. I'm good at this. I can talk words. And you sort of know that dynamic by now is that he's like, you know, hi, Dolores, and talks to her. And then all of a sudden she's like, motor functions stop and then turns it around.
Right.
And now we're led to believe that. I don't know what to believe.
I don't know what to believe. That's the thing.
So
I don't know.
So there's a few different things. Number one, either there is a real life Dolores somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about this?
I have. I've also read a lot of theories on Reddit.
I love Reddit's theories, but I haven't dove in yet here. So here's and tell me if you can fill me in any I'm missing. Number one, there is a real life Dolores who sort of trained up the version of Arnold that we know and love.
That is not a Reddit theory that I read.
Okay. Because remember, she starts doing that whole thing that Jimmy Simpson's character, young man, black man.
Yeah,
does early.
I'm enjoying all of this.
I know you are.
Young Ed Harris.
Young Ed Harris. That he does earlier with the robotic version of
the original, the investor who.
So it goes to say that if that's the same and we're led to believe that's kind of the same dynamic, that there is a real life Dolores that was helping build fake Arnold.
Okay.
And obviously there's a real, now there's also robot Dolores.
Right.
So we don't know because timelines are all screwed up.
Well, yeah, we don't know. That's the biggest thing about the show that makes it like a mind F. It's like, you don't know what timeline you're on when you're watching. You kind of have to figure it out.
Yeah.
And every storyline, like everything that's happening, like when you're watching Dolores and Teddy, it's a completely different timeline than when you're watching Arnold, you know, trying to solve problems.
So. And I thought for a moment I had a grasp. There was like a couple episodes where you're led to you're explained almost that there are different timelines and you're like, OK, and I got a grasp on this. OK, this is earlier. This is later. You start kind of like piecing the puzzle together. And then over the last two episodes, it just like threw the puzzle all over the table and you have no idea what's when and what happened in the past or the future or what's now. What is like an original memory from like years ago? Like, Arnold's got to get fixed.
Well, one of the theories is that Arnold, there's like multiple Arnolds, that there's like literally like hundreds of Arnolds and that they just use them for different reasons. And that's why his memory is kind of weird.
Oh, wow.
And there's like some scenes where he's wearing his glasses, some scenes where he's not, some scenes where he's like bloody, some scenes he's not, which is an interesting theory.
Yeah.
There's probably multiple.
And then the creator showed back up in the last episode too. So he's also possibly in the system.
Like somehow his consciousness is somehow in the system.
This is weird.
We're talking about are we talking about Tommy?
30 Rock.
This
is the plot line of 30 Rock.
The guy.
Yeah. You know that actor.
The guy fused in the thing. Yeah.
You know, Hannibal Lecter.
Yes. That guy.
Get the name. What's his name, Tommy?
Don't look at me.
He's like one of the most well-known actors of anyone's generation.
Philip.
Silence of the Lambs. Hannibal Lecter.
Fava beans. Nice Chianti.
Father B?
Yeah, that's it. It's Father B. It's Judd Hirsch.
All right.
You figured it out.
All right. I hope to God no one who is like a big fan of the Westworld Reddit decided to listen to this podcast today.
You would be owned.
Oh, let me listen to experts chat about Westworld.
Sorry, guys.
The guy, he did that thing.
Well, you know that one.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Sorry, everyone.
Sorry, Reddit.
All right. That's about it.
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
I'm all out. I'm sorry.
Next week. Oh, next week. Jenna, you weren't here last week.
I was absent.
You're here this week.
Thank you.
I hope you're here next week.
I will be.
Next week, let's chat about underrated TV shows that people should be watching.
All of the ones I watch.
I can participate in that.
Wonderful. Yes.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Maxwell.
Hey.
Oh, when'd you get here?
Just now. It's been great.
Yeah. If you have any suggestions for shows that we should be watching that we're probably not, you know, and by the way, not the place this came up, but after I suggested this topic last week to Maxwell behind the scenes, this past week, The Middle did its series finale.
Okay.
Which, has anyone ever watched The Middle?
No.
Exactly. But apparently it's a really like well done show that people should have watched.
It's an ABC show.
Yeah. Right? It's about Middle America.
Do they play Jimmy Eat World, That's The Middle as the theme song?
Wow. Yes.
I hope they do.
That'd be great.
No, it's not.
Damn.
They don't actually do that.
That's a missed opportunity.
It's hard to get rights for things.
they play the Zed Maren Morris, The Middle. Been playing it for years. So next week, if there's any TV shows that you think we should be watching that we're not, hit us up. All the social medias, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the website.
The Instagram.
It's This Week in Pop. Are we doing Instagram?
I'm on Instagram.
Have you gotten the pictures from men?
Funny you mentioned that. We have a whole, I can make that a whole other podcast. Anyway.
I'd
want to listen to that. That sounds good.
Would you just describe it for like a half hour?
The picture that I got?
No, not I'm not saying it. I didn't mean like one of them. I meant like,
what did
all
it look like?
Well, Tommy.
Was it big?
You know the eggplant emoji? Nothing like that.
Goodbye.
And on that note.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.